Okay, we're going to come to our reading now, which is from John chapter 10 and verses 1 to 10. It will be on the screen if you wanted to follow along in your Bibles too. I'll just find the page number. There should be Bibles either in front of you or behind you in the chair. It's page number 1076 in the church Bibles. So John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Amen. So, just to begin with, I've got some questions for you. This is for the young people as well as the older people. I'm going to show you some pictures of doors, and you have to tell me what's behind this door. Okay, so here's the first one. This should be an easy one. That's a very recognizable door, isn't it? Anna and Lily, I think I heard one of you give an answer, did you? What's behind that door? The Prime Minister. Yeah, that is 10 Downing Street, where the Prime Minister lives. Okay, probably one of the most recognisable doors in this country. I always wonder who paints it, because it's always lovely and shiny. Next picture. Who lives behind this door? Anyone recognise this door? That's a very different door. I have to say, this one... That's right, yeah. It's a hobbit, yeah. This is Bilbo Baggins' house from The Hobbit or The Lord of the Rings. And his door is well known as being a round door in the side of a hill. Okay, here's one more. This one might be a bit more tricky. Anyone recognise that door? What's behind that door? It's a hotel. Oh, I heard Paul say it. Yeah, that is the door to the Ritz Hotel. I've never been there. Anyone been to the Ritz for tea? Oh, very nice. Yeah. I don't know what you have to do to get into the Ritz. You probably have to book ahead, I imagine. And I don't know, is there a dress code? Can you... You can't turn up in ripped jeans and... Yeah, there's some doors you have to have a particular dress code or invite or ID or something like that to get through. So, what do doors do? Well, doors do two very simple things, don't they? They either let people in or they keep people out. They either give you access to what's inside, or they bar your access. So the most important thing you need to know about a door, or a gate for that matter, is what's on the other side, what does it give you access to, and how do you get in? So in the passage we read today, Jesus said, "I am the gate." Sometimes it's translated the door. It's the same thing, really. And so this is part of our series that we're doing at the moment, looking at the times when Jesus said the words, I am. People have different ideas, don't they, about who Jesus is. Some say that he was just a good teacher. Others say that he was just a prophet. Some people think of him as a sort of a spiritual guru. And people in Jesus' time also had different ideas of who he was. But what we're doing in this series is we're looking at who Jesus said he was. That's a sensible place to start, isn't it, if you want to get to know who someone is. And so we're focusing on what we call the I am sayings, which are found in John's Gospel. And here they are. We've been reading them each month. So we'll read them together again from the top. So the first one, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the vine. Before Abraham was born, I am. So in the passage we read today from John's Gospel, Jesus actually says two of those I am sayings. He says, I am the good shepherd, and he says, I am the gate. Last month we looked at that first one, I am the good shepherd saying. And so this week we're looking at the second one, I am the gate. So what did Jesus mean when he said, I am the gate? I wonder how many doors have you walked through today? It's something we never think about, is it? But I thought about this morning, and I counted 10 doors or gates that I walked through to get from my bedroom to here, to Runswick Chapel this morning. So Jesus has chosen a very everyday picture for us to think about. And we said that the most important thing you need to know about a door or a gate is what's on the other side. What does it give you access to? So we're going to ask some very simple questions this morning. We're going to ask, if Jesus is the gate, what is he the gate to? Why is Jesus the gate? He says, I am the gate. What does that mean? And thirdly, how can we enter? So first of all, what is Jesus the gate to? So in verse 1 here, Jesus mentions a sheepfold, or also known as a sheep pen. Jesus is saying that he's the gate to the sheep pen. That is what he gives access to. He's talked about himself as a good shepherd already. He's talked about people as his flock, and Jesus is continuing that imagery here. Nowadays, we keep sheep in big fields surrounded by electric fences, and the sheep often stay out all night in those fields. When me and my brother were little, we used to think it was funny to touch the electric fence, and it was even funnier. We discovered that if you held someone's hand and touched the fence, they would get electrocuted too. But I don't recommend you do that. It's a very silly thing to do. You never know what setting the farmer might have put it on. And so I'm not recommending you do that at home. But because of electric fences and things like that, farmers leave the sheep out all night and they're fine. They can't escape. They stay where they're supposed to be. But that's not how it worked back in Jesus' time. Instead, early in the morning, the shepherd would open the gate of the sheepfold, lead the sheep out to graze into the fields or go up into the hills. And then when evening came, the shepherd would lead the sheep back into the sheepfold. The shepherd would be with the sheep the whole time. When they came back to the sheepfold, the gate would be opened. The sheep would come into the fold and stay there during the night, and then the gate would be closed to stop anything else coming in. Why was that? Because the sheep pen was a place of safety. Apparently, they were often made of very strong stone walls, maybe something like this. And at night time, wolves or other wild animals who were rather partial to lamb or mutton, if they couldn't get lamb, would prowl around outside and be looking out for something to eat. So inside the sheepfold, the sheep were safe from harm. There are also thieves and robbers who wouldn't say no to pinching a sheep and adding it to their own flock. But the sheep were safe inside the fold. Last time I talked about shepherds in a village in the mountains of Albania that we would go and visit sometimes, who kept sheep and goats. And they used to keep their flocks in pens because of that reason, because there were lots of wolves in the mountains around that would regularly try to attack the flocks. So in the evening, the sheep and goats were put in the pen, and the shepherd actually slept inside the pen in a little hut with a little fireplace and everything. So he would stay there with his flocks all night to keep them safe. And this is the imagery that Jesus is using when he says, "I am the gate." He says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." But of course, Jesus isn't talking about literal sheep. He's talking about human beings. He's not giving advice about farming here, good farming practices. This has spiritual meaning. So what's it about? Now, the Bible is quite a thick book, isn't it? It's got so much in it, and it can be overwhelming. But in a way, the central message of the Bible is quite simple. It tells us that we need to be saved. Even if we're not aware of it very much or don't feel it, that's what this book is telling us and warning us about. That I need to be saved. That every one of you needs to be saved. And it tells us that through Jesus, we can enter that place where we are saved. That's what the sheepfold represents here. The place of God's salvation. Those words, saved or salvation, appear many times in the Bible because it is a central theme. One of the most interesting places that word appears is in the Christmas story that we've been focusing on so much over the holidays and read in our carol service, maybe at home. And it's back in Matthew chapter 1, where we're actually told why Jesus would be given the name Jesus. The angel of the Lord, who speaks to Joseph and tells him, "You must call him Jesus," tells him the reason why. I'll just read, this is Matthew chapter 1 from verse 20. It says, "After he had considered this," that's Joseph, "an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" So we're told right at the beginning, before Jesus is even born, that he will be a savior. And we're told what he saves from. It says he will save his people from their sins. Now, there's lots of things that people living in West Sussex might feel that they need to be saved from. We hear rumours that maybe there's going to be another financial crisis and we want to be saved from that. We might be worried about government policies and taxes and how they will affect us. A lot of us are worried about the rise of the cost of living, and we hope that we'll be saved from that. Many people are worried about climate change and what might happen to the world that we live in, and are looking for ways to save us from that. Or maybe you're worried about things a lot closer to home. Maybe you've got health issues, and want to be saved from those. And I'm not saying that any of these things are right or wrong. I'm very concerned about some of those things myself. But here's the thing. God tells us in his word that our greatest need is to be saved from our sins. Before we can sort out any of those other things, before we should worry about those things, we need to sort out this one. We need to be saved from our sins. For many people, that concern just isn't on the radar. And even for us as Christians, we can sometimes let all those other worries and concerns crowd in and make us forget about this one. To truly appreciate our need to be saved from our sin and continue being saved from our sin, we really need to understand how great the danger of sin is. Think about the sinking of the Titanic. People thought it was the safest ship ever built. They said it was actually unsinkable. So as a result of that, not enough lifeboats were installed on the ship. And we can be a bit like the people on the Titanic drinking champagne while it headed towards an iceberg, not even aware at all of the danger. So it's only when we really appreciate the danger of sin and its consequences that we are really going to appreciate how much we need Christ, how much we need salvation. The Bible tells us that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And another way the Bible puts that is when it says this, we all like sheep have gone astray, each of us have turned to our own way. You see, we're all born with a sinful nature that has led us away from God. We're all born like sheep outside the sheepfold, wandering around, ignoring the shepherd, not realizing that we're in danger while nighttime is coming. Because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. It's honest with us about the truth, about this danger. That means that sin leads to death. And that doesn't just mean physical death, it means spiritual death, which is separation from God. Sin separates us from God. It makes us guilty before a holy God. And as a just God, God must punish sin. So all other worries and concerns that we might have should pale in comparison to this one. The things that often occupy our thoughts and worries may all be legitimate things, but at the end of the day, they're all temporary things. Whereas the consequences of sin are eternal. What could be more important? But as we're reading here, the good thing is, as Jesus speaks of here, there is a sheepfold. There is a sheepfold that we can run into and be saved. God has made a way for us to come to him to receive forgiveness from sin. How do we enter this sheepfold? We enter through the gate. We'll coming back to that in a minute. Who does it say is the gate? Well, Jesus says himself that he is the gate. Some people say that in ancient times, the shepherd himself would sit at the entranceway, like this one's doing in this picture, and he himself would act as the gate, as he would recognize the sheep and know them, and he would have his staff with him that he could help use to either open the way or block it. People think that that's maybe what the shepherd did and what Jesus is kind of referring to here by saying he is the gate. So, we've talked about what is Jesus the gate to? Secondly, why is Jesus the gate? Why does he say, I am the gate? He doesn't say, I am a gate. And that is something that a lot of people will find offensive. To understand it, we need to think about something called religious pluralism. Basically, religious pluralism, which is very popular today, says that all of the world's religions are equally true. All religions lead to God, but they are simply different paths. And it's basically saying that there are lots of gates into the sheepfold. It doesn't matter which one you go through. And that sounds very accepting. It sounds very nice. It sounds very inclusive. But the big question is it true? Because truth really matters. And the answer is that it just isn't true. While all the religions might have some things in them that are true, there are religions that say there is one God. We would agree with that. There is one God. There are other religions that say there's lots of gods. Well, we couldn't agree with that. But while they all have some things that might be true in them, the lie of religious pluralism is that to respect someone and to love someone means that you have to agree with them all the time. That's not true. We can respectfully disagree with someone, can't we? And so Jesus here doesn't say, I am a gate. He says, I am the gate. In other words, he's saying that it is through him and only through him that we can be saved. And there are many places in the Bible that say the same thing. To some people that might sound like religious bigotry, but it really isn't. It's not because we think Christianity is superior to all other religions, but it's simply because Jesus is the only one who has died to pay for our sins. No one else has. No religious leader or spiritual guru, anyone has died to pay for my sin and your sin. All other religions basically give you a list of the things you have to do to earn your salvation, to earn forgiveness by doing good works and by doing religious ceremonies. And it's a bit like they're basically saying you can pay your way in to the sheepfold. But the Bible tells us we have a debt of sin that we can't pay for ourselves. I want you to imagine that you build up a tab of £500 at the, what's the pub at the bottom of the road called? Is it the Fox? The Fox. Let's say you've built up a tab of £500 at the Fox and you can't pay it off. Well, you go the next day and you sit down and you try to order a meal. Or maybe you don't even get to the table, you just turn up at the door and you want to go in. What are the people going to say to you? I don't think they have bouncers down there, but if they did have bouncers, what would they say to you? They'll say, first, you've got to pay off your tab. And if you can't pay it off, they're not going to let you in. They're not going to let you order anything. And in the same way, we have a debt of sin that we can't pay ourselves. The difference between religions and Jesus is that by dying on the cross, Jesus paid our debt. All other religions say, do, do, do. But Jesus says, done, done, done. The Bible says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And when he died on the cross, he took the punishment that our sins deserved. And he said those words, it is finished. Which meant that it's done. It's paid for. Your punishment has been taken by Christ. So that's one big reason, the central reason why Jesus is the gate and the only gate into the sheepfold. He paid our debt of sin in full. Lastly, how can we enter? So if Jesus is the gate and if he is the only gate, the most important question we can ask is, how can we go through the gate? How can we enter? Well, Jesus tells us himself in verse 9, he says, I am the gate, whoever enters through me will be saved. First of all, notice the word whoever there. That's wonderfully good news, just in that one word. It means anyone can come. There's no small print. There's no dress code like at the Ritz. You don't have to book beforehand or be put on a waiting list. There's no hidden terms or conditions. Whoever you are, whatever your past, however you've wandered away from the sheepfold, if you enter through Jesus, you will be saved. You will, the door will be opened to you. There may have been many doors that have been closed to you in your lifetime, but this door is never closed. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." To enter through the gate then simply means to believe in Jesus, to put your trust in him. Not just to believe certain facts about him, but to rely on him, to lean on him, to trust him. That's how you enter the gate. Paul puts it like this in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. To go through the gate means to turn from running your own way, to turn to Jesus, trusting in his death and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins. That's what the Bible calls repentance and faith. Admitting that we've been like sheep going astray, wandering around outside the fold, but turning back to God, trusting Jesus as the one who has paid the price for us, the one who brings us into safety and to life. And again, Jesus says in verse 9 here in John chapter 10, whoever enters through me will be saved. Perhaps you believe in Christ and maybe you put your trust in him years ago. And if so, you might be thinking, well, I've already entered the sheepfold through Jesus, the gate. How is all this relevant to me? It's good as a reminder. That is true. It's good to be reminded of these truths, to be reminded of the joy of knowing that we are safe in Christ. But I think there's more than that too. As Christians, we can sometimes lack assurance and lack peace. We can still feel anxiety because of our own failings and our own sins, and because of many other things. We can be a bit like sheep that have come into the sheepfold. They've entered through the gate, but they still feel worried. They don't feel safe all the time. And when we do that, we fail to rest in Christ. Instead of those sheep lying down and having a good rest, knowing that they're safe from harm, they worry and walk around and are in a state of anxiety. If that's you this morning, just remember that the walls of the sheep pen are strong and tall. You are safe in Christ. You are truly forgiven. Your debt truly has been paid. Nothing can get over those walls. Nothing can separate you from Christ. If you're in the sheep pen, rest in him. Rest in Christ, in what he's done for you. Breathe a sigh, an eternal sigh of relief, because you are eternally secure in this life and the next. Let God's peace fill your heart and your mind. Just going to end by reading what Paul writes in Romans. He says this, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the gate. We thank you that you have opened the way for us to be saved, that you laid down your life so that we could enter in and find safety, forgiveness and life. And Lord, we confess that we are all like sheep who have gone astray. We have wandered from you at times in our lives. We have sinned in our thoughts, in our words and our actions. But we thank you that through the cross you paid our debt in full. Help us to hear your voice and to trust you. Give us faith to come through you as the gate, to find rest in your forgiveness and joy in the life that you promise. We pray that you would open all of our hearts, draw us near to you. Give us the peace that passes understanding. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.